All right, here we go. Now, welcome to the show. Okay, so we're going to cut that one.
Okay.
Fully working, literally, for the past half hour. And then I just decided to not.
Right then.
But needless to say, Sean, let's just get right into it. Huh? I won't even play the intro. It's cool. How are you, ladies and gentlemen, doing? Hopefully you're doing great today. Yeah. Is July 13th as of recording of this video.
Approaching the Ides of July.
Live and alive. Sean, it's disgusting outside. How do you feel about this weather going on, let's just say, huh?
It's muggy and gross, and I don't like it. Like, I don't know. Like, I feel like I'm a prisoner to my AC, and the reality is such has not yet been felt in my wallet. But I'm sure when that electric bill comes in, I'm really going to be mad at this weather.
You didn't see your electric bill yet? We got the first hit last week.
Yeah, see, like, the problem is, like, I don't know. I feel like they don't actually come to read the meter every month. They kind of just guess at it, right? So then you'll just have these like wild spikes where, like, you know, 2 months from now, it'll be like our actual usage as opposed to whatever they're, you know, kind of guessing that it is.
Thanks. Do you have access to your meter?
I do. You know, I guess I could report it in, but I don't know, man.
Well, I only say that because 2 years ago, I got dinged for $700. $700 for an electric bill. I'm like, there's no fucking way. There's no way. That is not my bill. You are wrong. I called my superintendent. I was like, hey, listen, where is my meter? Tell me where it is. I'll take a picture. I'll send it to PSE&G right now. Took me about a week to fight with PSE&G. I was like, I'm not paying $700. You guys got it wrong. Something is bugging. And then literally after a week, it was $68. So.
Yeah. I had a similar issue when I lived in Boston where, like, in the apartment building in which we were living at the time, like, the electrical room was, like, it had, like, a lock. So they couldn't even get in there. One time that they were able to get in there, I think they, like, misrecorded, like, added an extra digit somewhere, and yeah, it was pretty much the same thing where, like, all of a sudden there's a bill for like $300 that didn't correspond to anything. And then sure enough, you know, when they came back to read it, you know, things that had been adjusted back the other way, you know, and it would have pretty, like, good credit on, you know, the account, but still it sucks.
What it is to some of the workers also, some of them, like, you know, been at it on the phones for the entire day, and some of them, like, not necessarily bad attitudes, but they're a little saucy. So I've dealt with quite a few of them. I understand it completely, but still, you know, it's like, I don't want to pay, you know, $800 on an electric bill when it's not correct. You know, I'm just trying to help me out here, trying to get to a supervisor. And then, well, needless the case, Sean, today's episode is how to take criticism in a restaurant. Just that blanket statement. How do you take that?
Man, I guess it depends, just like anything. It depends on where that criticism is coming from. You know, because in a restaurant, or, you know, it could be coming from your staff if you're in a management capacity. It could be coming from your manager. It could be coming from other employees in the building. It could be coming from your existing customers, and you know, like, it could have been coming from customers that you've had in the past. So I think whom it's coming from is gonna kind of determine, like, you know, how it's initially received.
Okay.
But ultimately, I mean, you need to listen to the feedback and, you know, parse it for actions that you can take to kind of, you know, give everyone the best experience, you know, that you can.
How do you think Okay, let me rephrase that then. How do you think you take criticism? Because I mean, I know you, so I've seen it. But like, how do you think you perceive yourself taking criticism? Let's say from our prior chefs or something, tell you something you did off or whatever, in a not so nice way. Like just regular way, you know, like, hey, you fucked up, blah, blah. You could do this better, et cetera. And then they just bounce. How do you think you'd respond to that?
For the most part, like I take that criticism pretty well. I mean, again, there's like so much nuance when it comes to this. Cause like, depending on who's relaying the message to you, you might expect it to come across in a harsh way. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I definitely feel like from my time in that industry, you know, there are definitely people who kind of want to communicate in the Gordon Ramsay way, you know, and yell definitely. And berate and, you know, single people out, you know, to kind of get, you know, change, make the situation better, but specifically by like elevating themselves above the issue. And, you know, depending on the individual who's being presented that kind of feedback, man, like, I mean, it gets varying results. But for myself in particular, generally, I just go, okay, so that's how that's how they communicate. I need to like listen through the noise, the literal noise, for what I can kind of take and either make a change or continue to do something if that feedback is positive.
Hmm. Interesting. I think, okay, let me ask you this then. Knowing me, how do you think I take criticism? Have you seen me take criticism on a line?
Yeah, sure. I could definitely say I've seen you sometimes, you know, kind of take it on the chin. You know, I've seen other times where you've been like resistant to the way you're being spoken to, but ultimately, you know, when the situation is calmer, you know, take the feedback and then again try to make the situation the best it can possibly be, you know, because I feel like
you don't think
ultimately, like, if you're working in that space, you generally are aiming to please, you know, either correct. Like please your coworkers, please your guests, please yourself, you know, but you're ultimately aiming to please. And, you know, if you're not a complete jerk, you're gonna be able to listen to the feedback and figure out like how to do things better.
Okay. I'm trying to get sauce, Sean. Fucking just tell me how it is. Don't give me corporate words, Sean.
Nah, man, I'm not giving you the corporate words. I mean, I'm giving you the real talk. Like, yeah, I mean, there have definitely been times where I've seen like someone like bring some bullshit to you, and you're just like, that's bullshit. But what is the issue? Like, what's the issue? How do we fix it? You know, sometimes, again, depending what the issue is, like, you can make a fix in the moment. You can, you know, take that information and change a process that's going to change things over the long term. Or maybe, you know, you can listen to what the issue is and then figure out what resources you're going to need to get to change for, you know, the future. Or depending on the circumstance, like, you can hear that something is an issue and then communicate back to the person who's presenting you that situation as an issue that it's not really an issue. Because I think that's also something that, like, it kind of gets overlooked. Like, I'm trying to think what's a really good example. But, you know, maybe there is a recipe that is new and you're presenting it to your, you know, your staff and maybe to your wait staff. And you know, you're resolute in like how this should be rolled out, what the place should look like, how things should taste, how things should be described. And, you know, if there are issues in how that is being communicated from waitstaff to guests that can create some, you know, some bad expectations about, like, what that dish or, you know, what that meal is supposed to actually look and taste like. So, you know, I've seen some resistance there. And in those circumstances, you're just like, well, no, it's, this is like this because of this. This is a feature, you know, this is, this was by design. And, you know, while we have it, while we're trying to do this, like, this is probably the best way to, you know, to sell it or express it. And, you know, you go from there. You go from there. You know,
interesting.
In those circumstances, you know, sometimes the waitstaff are, you know, they're the experts in at their craft, which is, you know, communicating, and maybe they can provide some feedback as to, you know, better ways for you to do your job, you know. But I don't know. I think in all these circumstances, the criticism is best received when there is mutual respect. Yeah. You know, from the you know, the criticizer and the criticizee.
So I bring it up because I'm going to bring my wife into this. So Caitlin said,
"Sure."
And this is my wife, Caitlin. Caitlin said, Caitlin said, "I am a 70-30 split."
Okay.
70% asshole, 30% not.
Hey man, that's the woman who loves you. So you know, I guess I'm gonna go with her expertise there.
So like. Just know, I took that right. I was just like, no, I'm not bad. What are you talking about? I am not a jerk. She's like, you kind of are. I'm like, no, I'm not. And then she explains. I'm like, So I guess I can see her thought process. I can see how she can think that I'm a jerk. However, in my brain, I thought I was just being cordial. Like I'm being a 50-50. It's like, okay, you're saying that. I'm saying this. Let's come to a middle ground. But for her, it's a different feel. So the part two of this criticism thing I'm trying to say is you need to also expect how the person you're talking to is taking the criticism also. When they're critiquing you, how are they going to reflect back onto you? Because it's such a broad subject that it's just, specifically in restaurants, what, like when you say criticism, what do you automatically think, Sean? Like a picture in your head, what do you think?
Immediately, what comes to mind is like, you know, someone looking at something that I made or produced and just like thumbs downing it. Like, they're just like, okay. Yeah, no. You know, there's, it's like, I thought I made the right dish or, you know, made the right choices, and it's immediately... The immediate reflection is a frowny face.
Think Chef Ramsay right off the bat. Somebody critiquing it's his face literally that's engraved into my brain. However, I think this is a little funny. Bring it right into a little meme here. Have you seen Kitchen Nightmares? Have you seen Do you remember this woman?
Mm-hmm.
So when Ramsay came to her restaurant, she was so, I don't want to say closed off. Look, how do you explain it, Sean? She's like she can dish it out, but she did not want to dish it back.
Yeah,
like
she's definitely resistant, you know, to...
Super resistant. Almost so like she doesn't want to hear it. So that's like the furthest out of the criticism spec. Like chef is telling you, like you're literally blatant to it and you're saying, no, I'm not. Etc. That's part one, right? How do you think we should handle those kind of people?
I mean, I think ultimately, like, I mean, because there's just going to be people who are resistant, right? So, like, I think in those circumstances, you give them the opportunity to kind of hear what you have to say again. You know, especially if you're confident in if you're confident in your messaging, or depending on what you're talking about, there's only but so many ways you can kind of frame things, right? So like, it was a perfect. I guess a good example, right? So if you're telling someone that like they have the flame too high on you know, underneath one of their saute pans, right? There's only so many ways you can actually communicate that, right? Like, you know, you can say it. You can take the time, depending on, you know, when you're having this conversation, you can take the time to show them again, you know, if they're resistant. And if you really have the time, you can show them again and kind of use your results against their results. Right? You know? And you can kind of provide them with an opportunity to understand the benefits of your methodology. But I feel like if they're resistant, that's really all you can do. And then I guess from there, I mean, you kind of move on to some sort of corrective action, you know, depending on what you're talking about.
Do you think it's your ego that's getting in the way when that happens?
Sure.
Do you think like,
yeah, I mean, a lot of times I think it's a lot of, I mean, if the person is actually, you know, capable of receiving the information that you're providing them and then acting on it, then yeah, I think a lot of times ego gets in the way. Like, oh man, I know how to do this. You know, I've done this a million times and this is a million and one. Why would it be changed? Why would it be different? It's just like, well, yeah, man. Sometimes these things are different, you know. Like there's a gap between what you're producing and what we're looking for. You know, how do we get there? And again, depending on what you're talking about, like the path could be quite a few different ways. But in the example that I was using about, you know, that saute pan being too hot, I mean, you got to turn it down, right? Like you got to turn it down. Like that's it. You know, you can talk to them and see, like, what are you, by turning the pan up, right? Like, what are you trying to accomplish? Are you trying to do this quicker? You know, like, well, that may not necessarily work in every application, right? Like, let's figure out, like, why you're taking the steps that you're taking as opposed to the ones that we're looking for.
So thinking about, like, some of my famous... let's say interaction with some cooks and some chefs, in my past careers, in my career, not past careers. Sean, I get the, you're going to show me how to do shrimp scampi? I've been doing this 20 years. How are you going to teach me something new about shrimp scampi? Sean, take it away.
Oh man. Well, yeah, I guess that's a very, very real one, you know, concerning where we used to work.
Super real.
I think right then, what you need to kind of remind that cook is that, you know, despite the fact that they were an expert in doing it in one way, you know, like the establishment that you're currently in, the restaurant you're currently in, has a spec. And the reason why you have specs is so that... everyone has the same expectation of what they're producing and if you're the customer, what you're eating, right? Like, you know, you want consistency, you know, you want to measure out and, you know, portion things in a particular way so that, hey man, if I came here on a Monday, it's the same as when I come here on a Friday. And then 2 months ago, you know, 2 months from now, if it's still on the menu, it should be roughly the same. And if it's going to be different, then those differences are standardized as well.
Correct.
And in presenting those differences, everyone is on the same page, right? You know, if that spec changes, then the managers are aware, the chef is aware, the cooks are aware, the wait staff is aware, so they can communicate that to the guest and provide them again with a consistent and high quality experience.
There you go. That's a nice way to put it. I think what I said was, okay, I understand it. Can I show you how we do it at this restaurant? I think that's how I did it. And then you just follow. So it's like, I understand you have 20 years experience. I totally get it. However, this is how we do it here. I just want to show you one time so you know the stuff. Here's how we plate. Here's how we move. And then from there, we just watch, right? And then see if they kind of at least get the same kind of notion. If they do, correct ever so slightly. But I think the one that really gets me, and here's part two of that one. I had a chef that would go, I flipped that 20 seconds, 30 seconds. Oh, you're too late now. You burned it. Out. Start again. I'm like, hey, okay, is that really necessary? You think you're that big of a badass for you? Well, what? Show me how it was done. Like, don't just, I understand, like, I can do that too, you know? This is all going in my head, by the way. I'm not saying this. But I think I was younger then. I think I mentioned, all right, I'm sorry. However, can you show me how to do it? So I have this thing when I start to get mad, my face kind of not really turns, not like it frowns, but it super focuses on your face. Like, cause you notice when we talk, I seldomly look at your face. If I don't know you, if I know you, I will look at you in the eye, but most of the times I won't. I just don't find it entertaining. Okay. Your eyes, whoever, cool. Not a bother to me. If I start to get aggravated, my eyes will lock with your eyes and you will feel really uncomfortable. And that's how I know, or that's how I can tell people, like, I think he's getting a little aggressive. That's kind of my aggression, I guess, in criticism, if it's becoming a little too unnecessary. But how would you handle that situation, Sean, if you were being micromanaged? Because this is actually part of criticism too, because they think you can't do the job, so they need to micromanage you, and kind of like superimpose themselves into you, so much so that you're starting to falter in a job that needs to be done.
Man, all right. Well, I guess I don't want to use this as like a cop out and be like, you know, really democratic in how I answer this question, but it all depends on the circumstance. You know, it all depends on like what am I like, what's being communicated to me? You know, what kind of pressure am I under to, I guess, produce? And, you know, can I tell by this interaction that this is just going to be the general course on, you know, how information is going to be presented to me? Because personally, mm-hmm. I don't like to be micromanaged, but there might be circumstances in which, like, there's a huge gap between what I need to know and what I do know. And obviously a huge gap in the confidence between the person or, you know, the organization that's kind of put these responsibilities on my plate and what I'm actually doing. So, you know, depending on where I am in the learning curve, I'm going to be a lot more receptive to that micromanagement, but okay. I'm also going to kind of need to see that level of scrutiny kind of fall off over time as I become more of an expert or understand what I'm doing more.
Got you. As you become more aware.
Yeah. And honestly, one of the things that's kind of changed my opinion about that is like being a parent and like having a 2-year-old, because like you need to micromanage all the time. Like you have to. Like, you have to. And it's like you might get the glimmer that, like, they're picking up these concepts, but they don't always have the context. And, you know, to get them on board and prepared for whatever you're trying to teach them, it's just like you might have to micromanage. You can level off depending on, like, you know, how they're adjusting to the information. But other times you need to micromanage. You know, some people like to have that level of focused attention and scrutiny. You know, personally for me, I feel like if I had to exist in that space all the time, like especially in work, like it wouldn't be good, because I'd be questioning like why I was given this, whatever the responsibilities I have, right? Like at some point, like you want to feel like you can take the training wheels off and just kind of, you know, continue to ride and, you know, make your own paths. But I guess if I was in a circumstance, because it's never really happened to me, where it's been like a long-term thing. But yeah, I guess I would go to, you know, my manager or, you know, whoever I was reporting into, and then go, okay, like, what other resources can I get access to kind of bridge this gap? Because, like, I don't specifically feel comfortable, like, working in this way. I want to do a good job. That's why I'm talking to you. But we got to figure out, like, if there's a different way to do it. And if there wasn't, well, then now we got decisions to make that are mutually beneficial, right? Like, maybe I need to figure out something else to do, or maybe I can get reassigned to something, or, you know, or maybe their approach could be a little different. But, you know, it kind of goes from there.
See, what I've been noticing, though, I still can remember, without naming names, do you remember that one time, actually, you were sauteing scallops, and our manager told us that you didn't sear it enough. Do you remember this?
I vaguely remember this. I'm not going to say I do 100%, but vaguely, sure.
Okay. So he told you that you didn't do it right, sent it back. You got, I know you got upset. He didn't care for it. But you said, how can I be better? And then he just left. I remember, like, if you could only see your face, I was like, I think this is a show I have to break it for today.
But bro, yeah, man, that would have did it. Like, I'm glad that, cool, like, calm, you remember collected. This, man. This circumstance is, like, washed over me. But yeah, man, see, this, cool, I guess, calm, that's collected. A perfect example, right? It's because, like, you still, like I was saying before, if you work in that capacity, obviously you aim to please. And yeah, man, when it comes to searing a scallop, it's like, you're either gonna be under, you're gonna burn it, or it's gonna be just right. So, like,
yeah,
and the timing to pull off all three, there's a very slim margin of error on all of those things. So, like, man, you want to just know, like, all right, where, like, what are you looking for differently? You know, like, where's the opportunity to get this right? And, man, depending on where we were in a given week, man, maybe we were running low on scallops too. So I'm just like, yo, I literally cannot afford to mess this up.
I think,
you know, so yeah, man, like,
that manager was just being a little dickish, I think, in my opinion. Now, again, this is a third person seeing you interact.
Yeah.
With that guy. It wasn't my turn. This was before we were, I think this was, we were still line cooks at that time. I was just like, that's a little aggressive. Like, was that necessary?
You want to know, especially, you know, considering at that point in our careers, I mean, you know, you're trying to reinforce these skills that you can take with you anywhere, you know? And for me, you know, I know you definitely, oh, wow. Hold, mic just fell over. It's gonna be just a wow.
It's okay.
That sucks. Okay. Oh boy. All right. I'm gonna have to hold this up in my hand for the rest of the show. Okay. So yeah, it kind of came off the mat. Yeah. So, like, I was saying, like, at that point in you know, my career arc, like, you definitely had more experience than I did. So if I'm asking someone, like, dude, tell me, like. Like, I want to know. Like, I want to know so I can be better. Like, I want to know so I can confirm that I'll be good. And especially if, like, you're asking me to be better. So, like, let's clear this hurdle. Let's figure it out. And, so, you know, if someone were to walk away from you asking on how to improve yourself for the sake of, you know, your career development and your business, like, that's not cool. So that was, yeah, man, I'm glad you brought that up, because I don't remember it. I believe you.
Oh my, how could you not remember? I think you were just like so focused. You really wanted to get right. You just forgot about it. But I was this close to saying some shit for you, but I was just like, he didn't say nothing. He let it go. I'm like, he asked for help. Are you serious?
Let it roll in the moment. Because I mean, again, man, like, part of it is just my personality. And I just feel like just life in general, right? Like, provides so much stress. Like, I don't care who you are, where you are, your gender, your sexuality, your race. Like, there's a lot of factors, you know, just out there that can make for some real stress that you have no control over. So when there are stressful situations that you do have control over, I definitely feel like it should be on top of everyone's mind to be mindful of those things. So especially when it comes to like workplace stuff, like everyone for the most, at least here and at least right now, you choose to go to work. Like you choose to do this, like you choose to work there. So now you choose. So now you have a choice to participate in creating a good atmosphere. So generally when it comes to like workplace stress, I'm going to take it seriously, but I'm generally going to try not to like let it stay with me. I'm like, all right. There's an issue. Okay. How do we address it? You know? Okay. There's an opportunity. How do we make the most of it? Let's go from there.
There you go.
So yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because I really
yeah, man.
Remember that.
Like, I'm pretty sure you'll remember if I say the name, but I'll say that off
camera. We'll say it off camera.
I'm pretty sure. But how to take criticism in a restaurant, I think, and this is my final example, kind of, right? One, I need to be clear and to give the bigger picture. I understand I'm micromanaging you. I understand I'm giving you a lot of steps. I just want to make sure you succeed. Two, my main motto is as honest as possible. So my actual example is, do you remember Big T, Tarana? I'll drop her name.
Yeah.
Shout out to the Big T. Money. So Big Money used to have a little temper. She still has a temper no matter what. But she would... her emotions will be honestly, literally within a second. I love it. I'm for it. I'm like that. But over the years, I know better. So I don't often spew it out loud right away, but she's not there yet. So oftentimes when it was just her and I, when we were running the restaurant, this was before you got to the other side, she would get really frustrated with me and like, Case, what am I doing wrong? I feel like I'm not performing, like the staff don't like me. I'm just trying to do the right thing. And I'm trying to coach her and tell her what's right. But at the same time, I'm telling her, T, I understand you're honest to a fault and I get it. However, try this practice. I was like, instead of saying, like, for example, like somebody sent like, I don't know, let's say like the trout. It was a little over. It was like a little burnt on the edge. They didn't like it. They sent their over. T saw it. She's like, yo, what the fuck is that? Blah, blah. Like literally like that in a second. I was like, instead of that, how about we say, okay, what happened? What was wrong with the trout? Did they not like it, etc.? Instead of blowing up right away, take a second, take a breather. If you need to, literally walk away. And she would do that constantly. And obviously over the time, she would be less and less. But I think... and I'll call her later after this, just make sure that she's okay with it. But I think that created a bond with me and her. So being able to give the big picture to create a bond. And my third kind of how to take criticism in a restaurant is it cultivates that workplace environment that you want. Like you would, I think you can... From all our vet staff, like they will tell you outright if you fucked up, like right to your face. Case, I don't want to do that. That's not right. That's not how we do it here. Like I'm pretty sure you've experienced that with.
Oh, for sure.
With
for sure. Like, I mean,
all of them.
There's no way you could exist in that space without leaning on all of their years of experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I think one thing that you're saying that I definitely agree with is like. That back and forth comes from having mutual respect, right? Like you respect them, they respect you. And ultimately everyone understands that they respect each other's craft. So you're trying to do the right thing. And if there's any gaps, like there should be an opportunity to really talk about it and hash it out respectfully. You know,
yeah.
I mean, I know it's not always going to happen in moment to moment, right? There's going to be a lot of like high pressure situations and, you know, times where like you need to just take an action and, you know, in a case of a burnt fish, well, hey, man, you might need to drop what you're doing and get another piece on there real quick the way that someone is looking for it as opposed to the way you did it. And, you know, I know it's as simple as a fish, but depending on what else you're trying to manage, it can be stressful. But
it's very stressful.
That stress breaks and there's the opportunity to talk about it, you talk about it respectfully. And, you know, you kind of go from there.
So I think the ultimate goal is on how to take criticism in a restaurant is the respect. And I think that's the main goal. So you should be able to talk freely with your minds open in a respectful way. And I think that's how you're going to, that's just how you're going to level up, period. There's no other way about it. And swap restaurant for anything. It doesn't have to be a restaurant. It could be your corporate gig. Could be anything, really. You just need to learn not how to take it to the chin, but how to properly manage your anger and how to say it in a way that you want to learn. Because essentially, everybody has the same goal, pretty much, you know? You know, if you're trying to build a house, you fuck up. They will tell you outright, but like, okay, how can I get it right? Same in the kitchen. Like, if you mess up something, how can I get that right? Let's get the food correct, you know, in a way. So I guess in a long roundabout way, how to say criticism is just not be yourself. Essentially.
Nah, man. I think you should be yourself. But I do think that like your communication should be in like befitting of the environment, you know, and always with as much respect as you can provide. Like, mm-hmm. because ultimately, you know, a business, you know, it's an organization, it's a series of relationships, right? And you need to just, you need to manage them as best as you can.
Yeah. Don't get too hot-headed. That's what the walk-in is for.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah, cool off in the walk-in, for sure.
Cool off in the walk-in. So as an employee,
find your virtual walk-in.
Find your virtual walk-in. I think as an employee, that's just how you're going to level up. As a manager, however, different stresses, I think we can talk about it at some point, but for the time being, it's not necessarily the same, especially when it's corporate setting like that, because it's a lot of this trail, like literally from way up to their CEO and then from their managers to you, et cetera, from your GM and then everybody. If they're not all on the same page, it'll get skewed quite a few. But how to take criticism, you know, just be nice, take a second, take a deep breath. It's not aimed towards you. It's more of a, there's no I in team, you know, that phrase. But I don't know. Just, I guess, learn how to see the bigger picture. I guess that's my final answer. How about you, Sean?
Yeah, I'll go with that. You know, be a part of something bigger than yourself. Generally, don't take things too personal, and you know, look for opportunities to clarify, you know, when there are gaps in you know, I guess gaps in communication or gaps in expectations.
That's it. I know it's slightly earlier today, not too crazy. We do want to make sure that a little Shawnee goes to sleep.
Yeah, man. So
it's everyone, a little tough one, but yeah. Go for it, Sean.
Yeah, you've been listening to the Chef Salty Podcast with Casey and Sean. This podcast can be found on Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. You can find video of these episodes streaming and archived on YouTube at Chef Salty Pork. Reach us by email at askchefsalty@gmail.com. You can reach me directly on Twitter at MetroCardX. And yeah, I'm getting tired from holding this mic stand up. So thanks for listening. Peace out, internet.